Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
We were huddled. RPO. We were huddled around Owen's computer during the break. And I said, "What did I say, Kenny?" I go,
"We were sitting there like Mission Control during Apollo 13, looking at this, going, what the hell are we gonna do?'"
And what did I say? I said, "Was Joe sabotaging?"
No.
Taking off. Look at this.
No.
Where was that? Where was that speed?
He looked like Patrick Mahomes running an RPO.
Kevin didn't let it out. I mean, you say what you will, the offense is stuck in sand. It is.
So there's no confidence in anything. They weren't letting Joe do any of that. And that led me to think, like, I'm watching Joe last night. He changed their alignment, like, on every play. So he would get up, and they were lined up right away on every snap. And you'd see the Steelers either feign some kind of a blitz, or he would decipher, oh, they're in man now. I've got sent a man in motion. Now we got to realign. And I'm like, Zach Taylor's not even doing the offense here. This is Joe Flacco. He just let Joe Flacco just take over the offense.
I'm just looking at the game. That's all. I had to restart it. This is a work of art.
And by the way, Flacco was good from the opening drive. They didn't get any points because Jamar Chase had a drop, Higgins had a drop. Like, he was on it from the moment the game started.
Coming in hot might be one of the all-time greatest today. Just pointing that out. That's at 9:45.
Yes. I will raise my ban of talking about sports during coming in hot.
Yes, absolutely. You got to let it go. You got to let him in. No impressions if you don't want to. Just let it ride, man. Try not to cuss. Try not to say anything too horrible that we have to dump it, and I have to ask a diabolical question. The coming in hotline's already great. They were leaving them overnight. We played a snippet of a few of them. You can use the free Odyssey app. It's right next to Listen Live button. Hit that leave a message button. Go ahead. Keep it within 30 seconds. Get it in. 216-474-0092. Elton and Garfield, you've been more than patient. Thank you very much. You're first up on the Fan.
You know, I laugh at you guys this morning. Y'all getting what y'all finally deserve. I've told y'all since day one, Kevin is the problem. I can't believe it. People think, Cleveland media in general thinks.
Wait a minute. Andrew Berry not the problem?
He's definitely a problem, too.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe that people think when those two get fired that they'll get jobs. Kevin is not a good play caller. He's not a good head coach. He's never been that. He's run out two quarterbacks, ruined them. He doesn't know how to play call. He doesn't know how to adjust. He's not good at his job. I don't know what games y'all have been watching to think he has a ray of hope.
Well, hold on, Elton. No,
Kenny, on a day like today, I can't even fight.
Yesterday morning, I might argue that.
You're his biggest supporter. You have worshipped Kevin Sweat. He is bad at his job.
I have made a case. I have made plenty of cases for Kevin over the years. I have.
He sucks so bad. And I'm going to say this before I got the phone. How can we have two bad tackles like Cincinnati, but they can adjust? Hey, let's do short dropbacks. Let's go screens. Let's go hot route. Let's do out route. Let's do slants. Kevin is so goofy, he doesn't even want to do that. He is not good at his job, man. When he gets fired, that is it. His NFL career is over. If somebody hires him, I will buy everybody out there to stay.
I'm glad you said that again. I'm glad, because Elton, I thought of that, and I will admit, I'm afraid of history as well. Thank you very much for the call. Like, I've had so many people, like Dan Orlovsky has basically threatened us with it. Well, you wait until he goes somewhere else. I'm
Charles
like,
I don't think that's a threat
anymore.
Didn't Charles Robinson just say the other day that was the case, that Kevin...
He'll go somewhere else.
He's going to be Baker Mayfield. He's going to go somewhere else and excel. Right. But listen, I'm not fighting. This is a day, on a day like today, where we all saw it last night. I can't defend Kevin, and I certainly won't defend Andrew. I have laid a defense before of Kevin, even this year. I said, well, he doesn't have receivers, doesn't have the offensive line. And obviously, Joe had receivers last night, but it has to be more than that. The confidence. See, this is the thing. Kevin and Flacco, it worked in the first iteration. It worked. He allowed Joe to do the Joe things and just said, whatever happens, happens. That was not the case this time around. He didn't. For whatever reason, and I know the offensive line's worse than it was then. By a lot, by a wide margin.
Okay.
But, hey, proof is in the pudding.
I mean,
Kevin
Bengals
was not allowing it this year.
Yeah. Bengals offensive line isn't great. I mean, I just can't understand. If anybody wants to call in and say Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are the biggest differences, I mean, I can't keep making those excuses. Those are just excuses.
Even the running game last night. How did the Bengals all of a sudden, for the first time all year, have a running game? All I was told.
Well, they poured it down our throat the first drive.
But okay,
I know that's an unlocking drive. But
the analytics people have told me you can't run the football with Joe Flacco. He's the reason you can't run the football because of the way he plays. All right. Well, last night they had the best running performance of the year between the Browns and the Bengals.
I'm sure they'll find a graph or something that makes them feel better about last night. I'm sure. Isaac and Shaker Heights, you're next up on the fan. Yellow.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey,
I just want to tell Ken, Anthony, welcome to the club, because we already knew. We already knew that the reality of first hit you, when it first hit you, that you can actually see that what the problem is, and the guy said it right, the problem is management. Anthony Berry and Kevin Stefanski, they wore their welcome out here, but it's like a lightning strike. It just hits you at one time, and when you feel like it, when you feel that, you feel like, why doesn't everybody feel like I do right now? Because Anthony already knew, Ken. He doesn't feel like that. He doesn't feel like that because he already knows that they need to go. He already knows that they are the problem. So the thing is, though, when you look at Flacco, we know Flacco can stink, and we know Flacco can look good. But that's not the problem. The problem is, why does Flacco look so good there and didn't look that good here? You know what the problem is? The play calling. You just said it yourself. Flacco was able to change the play. Here, he didn't have the authority, or he didn't. Plus, he has the wide receivers. That's Andrew Berry.
For all week, Andrew was scaring it out of him.
I mean, it's shared.
That could have been part of it, too. That all week, they had such a conservative game plan because they were scared.
Yeah, exactly. And why were they not able to run? But let's face the reality of the situation as well. Even though their line is as bad as our line, Vince Lombardi once said, they know what we're going to do. We're going to run it here. We're going to put a gap. We're going to make a gap here. We're going to run it up the gut. Execution. These players do not want to play for Kevin Stefanski. Miles Garrett, I watched him last game. He did not put the Garrett effort in. He didn't put it in. Why? Because he has lost the locker room. It's over, dude. It's over. They have digressed. Look at all the quarterbacks that came through here. What quarterback has actually blossomed and went to another level under Kevin Stefanski? Either they have digressed, didn't go to another level, or just plain look like crap. Look at the common denominator. Watson, Baker, Flacco's already here. Flacco's a veteran. Flacco.
Did you hear that, Ken? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He's not alone.
Isaac might have just made me think something.
He's
here,
not alone.
I'm afraid to say
it. I saw some people.
I'm afraid to say it.
I saw it last night, Isaac. Some people were saying, did they ruin Deshaun?
Hey, I'm trying to tell you now. I'm not saying that all the way, but I'm just putting the facts in. You can deny the truth, but the facts remain the same. Yeah, if you look at it, if you look at the comment, because look, Flacco and his reads were crisp last night. This guy ain't been there, what, 2 weeks? Isaac, it's football, man.
Isaac,
it's football.
You're not wrong on anything. Isaac, I got to let you go. We're up against it. I hate saying that term, but we are. And I thank you very much for the call. I can't disagree with anything you say, Isaac. I can't disagree with anything. I lay down and I take it, and that's the way it goes. I just have to take my beating and hope that I will get smart, because I don't want to rush to these guys got to go. These guys got to. I need moments like last night. That I need that, because you have a fan base that flirts with apathy tone. You have a fan base that, again, the lack of trust. You can't pick one side or the other. There's no way you can say this is one guy's fault and not the other guy's fault and vice versa. There's no way. You can't do it. It's all there. Whether it be the game planning, whether it be the players that are playing and who picked them. It's all there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Miles Simmons coming up in about 40 minutes. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin back on Afternoon Drive. We're having fun here.
Hey, we're having fun.
On a beautiful Thursday in
Cleveland.
Want
to tell your joke so bad.
Nope.
It's so funny. I'm not telling you to do it. I can tell when she repeated it to Meredith after she was done with her update.
Well, no, because she was in the room and didn't hear it. And she would enjoy that joke as well.
We've talked before about people that go to parties and they get like one joke off and it hits. And then that's their joke for the night. Mm-hmm. And then they go from like spot to spot to spot just retelling that one joke.
Mm-hmm.
This is your joke for today.
Is it a good joke?
It's a good joke.
All right,
It made me laugh.
I think it made Mac laugh, even though he was the butt of the joke.
Didn't make everyone else laugh, but it made...
Oh, Mac, can you confirm or deny that you laugh?
Made me laugh.
Yeah, it made me chuckle a little bit.
All right. By the way, next time you can just turn on the mic. You don't have to delay. It's kind of timing. It's okay.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I just wanted to let that sit in there.
Don't make me say it, Mac. I just made the joke. I will say and I will repeat the joke in a different...
I just don't know how Wemby went from like 7-3 to 7-7. I don't know where the 4 inches came from.
Not doing it. Not doing it.
I said I don't know where the 4 inches came from.
Wah, we got to look at Mac's mom. Sorry. He set me up twice. It's not on me. I took the high road once. I will not take it twice. I don't know why I'm yelling at you. It's been a really inappropriate joke about your mom. Now, that being said, we're having fun.
Hey, we're having fun.
We did just play one of the Charles Robinson clips on 102.5 The Game in Nashville. And obviously, they're asking about Kevin Stefanski because they think the world of Kevin Stefanski, because they haven't watched him make Dylan Gabriel throw 52 times in a game yet. But here's another interesting bit of sound that we got. And it was Charles Robinson. Again, the whole United Front thing, thought partners with the Cleveland Browns. We've been wondering, all right, how aligned are they really? Charles had a really interesting, but I think predictable answer on the state of things between Stefanski and Andrew Berry.
2 or 3 weeks ago, they said, hey, is Kevin on the hot seat? And I said, no, no way. I said, he and Andrew Berry, I said, they're good. They're on lock. Then they traded Flacco. And Stefanski comes out, and I'll never forget listening to that press conference. And I was texting the guys, I'm like, you listening to us right now? Like, he put it on Andrew. Like, he was like, look, I trust Andrew. It's like, he kept saying it like over and over again. And I'm like, yeah, I know Kevin did not want to create an environment where he had this veteran quarterback quarterback and who he wanted to continue starting. But at the very least, if he wasn't going to start him and he had a rookie starting, he wanted to make sure he had the veteran in the number two position, the support role. And then now that guy's playing for the Bengals. And, you know, you could tell, I'm like, this feels like there's a tiny bit of separation now between the head coach and the general manager. And since that press conference, I'm kind of like, yeah, this feels different. You know, this feels like Kevin's, there's a little bit of a gap there.
So Charles is really smart to frame this on that first press conference where we all heard the obvious.
It was weird. It was incredibly weird, and we'll talk about it probably years from now being like, that was that Tuesday press conference and how just abnormal it was.
Now, here's what's really interesting. Charles has been one of the guys that is incredibly plugged in Berea.
Mm-hmm.
So while he does not specify beyond this, I'm going to go ahead and say, since he heard that press conference, he's checked in with his people in Cleveland. So I don't think it's a coincidence we're hearing this now, because one of the, at points, criticisms I've made about Kevin Stefanski is that he is incredibly, he gets his messaging out there. He gets what he wants out there, including what is said about him. He helped shape the narrative of woe is Kevin and Jimmy Haslam is this and this, that, and the other. But we haven't heard the narrative of there's a gap or there's a split there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that Charles, who is as connected as you can possibly be,
yeah,
I would say if he had heard something to the contrary, and he, again, he's close to the situation in Berea, he's got contacts in that building, he wouldn't be saying this.
Something happened. Clearly something happened. That's why Kevin felt and talked the way that he did, and that's why it's been awkward now for about 2.5 weeks. And that's why, honestly, when we talk about this stuff, we are talking about it as if Bert and Ernie isn't a thing, and as if there is some sort of separation between the two, and as if Andrew Berry might make it out and Kevin Stefanski won't, which is not how we ever discussed this partnership.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. This organization, as constructed with Berry and Stefanski, they're not just concerned about how they're viewed in Cleveland. They are concerned about how they're viewed outside of Cleveland. So I would be pretty surprised if at any point it got as bad as it was with Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown, or Hugh Jackson and John Dorsey. I would be really surprised if it gets to the level of toxicity we've seen Pettine and Farmer, right? They're not going to come out and tell you, oh, I don't trust that guy anymore. That's not how this is going to work. You're going to hear it through the national media first, and then maybe we'll get smatterings of it here locally. But this is, we almost, one of the things we almost got into on today's show, or almost put on the rundown, was the combustible environment in Miami and how it compares to here.
Because
mm-hmm. I think if you look at it, you go, wow, Tua said this, and Mike McDaniel's contradicting what a quarterback says. That culture, that situation, there's so much more tension there. I don't think we can make that statement definitively, because I think we're starting to hear from more people saying, yeah, you know, there is a gap there. A gap when it comes to the thought partners. That's as much as you're going to hear about the situation between the two of those before this thing is clearly irrevocably done and somebody's on their way out.
Well, and we always thought that something like this could happen if they got to a point of desperation. I mean, that's when people act desperately, this is the type of stuff that you then have come out, because they were so aligned through so much of this. But again, when you thought your job was 100% safe, everything was copacetic. When you start to wonder and question if that is in fact true, then all of a sudden they start bus tossing other people. Like, did things change?
Well, and I thought you were going to say bussin', like the popular,
like how kids do, or bussin', yeah, with the boys.
But, yes, I thought you were going to go there.
No.
You didn't, and so then
no.
I had to retrieve. Or
what
sorry,
were you
going to
say? I can finish it with saying bussin'. Go ahead, and then that's when they were bussin'. Were you going to yell at me for being too hip?
No, I just really enjoy you using vernacular. It's so 6'7". Now, why do you do? People on YouTube, can you give them the 6'7" again?
I just did it.
Because it's more of one of these.
I just did it.
And you're doing one of these.
I just
you're
did
making
it.
A pizza. And
well,
it's more
I
of
like I scrunch up into it just because it's funny, because I know what I'm about. I know it'll get you to laugh as always.
It's working.
Am I juggling? What am I doing? I don't know. You tell me.
There's hot plates
coming through.
There's another thing you could be doing.
Easy now.
I'm just saying, there's multiple things you'd be doing there.
You're not going to out-freak this freak.
Many
okay?
great things. No, I think this is, I think we're in a really interesting spot. And we continue to come back to the importance of winning on Sunday. Winning allow some of that steam to escape in Berea, allow some of that pressure to go away. And with every loss, that pressure is building. And again, like right now, my official stance is I don't think we'll ever get to a point where it's just so obvious it's uncomfortable for everyone and something has to be done. Because I do think these guys both know they turn things around quickly by taking the high road, both of them. We're close. We're not there yet.
That's what they've always done.
We are close to this thing being as uncomfortable as it could possibly be between two incredibly mature, level-headed human beings in a highly pressurized environment.
I think Kevin Stefanski is an incredibly classy human, but I do think if Stefanski wants to take the gloves off, I think the firepower that he could just throw at this Browns organization while using people in the media instead of it being, hey, Stefanski says this, I think it would surprise a lot of the listeners just how fierce he could make this if he wanted to. I think there's a sleeping dragon there with Stefanski that can be awoke.
Well, and here's the thing. I don't even
he knows where the bodies are buried, too. And I think that's going to be a scary thing for a lot of those people in that Browns organization, I would imagine.
It's not even about just Stefanski. There's no shortage of people around the NFL, either in the NFL offices, meaning like within front offices around the NFL, or media members who have not forgotten any of the various things that they don't like about Jimmy Haslam, right? What is the entire thing? It's been about those poor guys. They got to work for that guy. If one of those guys happens to say, oh, hey, report this. Hey, can I tell you about this? Remember that thing we talked about that one time? Let's go live
with
that.
Well, so the difference between... I think it's important to note this, right? When Hugh Jackson left, remember what Hugh Jackson ended up doing? He told everybody under the sun, I'll speak to you guys in a couple years when my contract allows me to, because he got paid out beyond just his final year, and part of that stipulation was you basically got to stay quiet. Freddie Kitchens went around telling everybody that the moment that his contract was up and he could actually speak, he was going to speak to everybody. And guess what? By the time his contract got to be up, no one cared anymore about the stories. Yeah. You know, 3-4 years, whatever had passed, nobody cared about the stories. The interesting thing about where Stefanski is that Stefanski has a newer contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so Stefanski would also be under that same little area that these other coaches were in, where they're not going to do their own public tour. They're not going to do their own media tour. They can't speak in the public after this. If they want their money, they're going to have to sign the same thing that Hugh Jackson signed, that Freddie Kitchens signed, that says basically, we just don't say a word about the Haslams. But they're so well connected, I promise you, if Stefanski wants to get this thing ugly, he can get this thing ugly.
They have to win on Sunday. And it really feels like whoever loses on Sunday could be in immediate danger. But the Browns have to win on Sunday. I know why the Dolphins have to win on Sunday, because I think they're far closer to firing McDaniel. And I think McDaniel wants it at this point.
Do you think Stefanski wants it at this point?
I don't think he'd hate it. I think he'd rather, I bet you Kevin would rather frame it that he resigns from a job than he gets fired from a job. Whereas Mike McDaniel is just looking for
this. There's a lot of money left for him in getting fired.
I think he's confident that he'll get his money one way or another.
I'm glad he feels that confident because, and again, maybe he ends up with the Titans, maybe he ends up with a different team. But like, if I'm Stefanski, when they start speaking this way and you can start saying the separation is happening, it's very hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube. And it feels like the separation's already started to happen and the divide has already started to happen there.
There's one more thing that this points to. I think Kevin knows he's really close to losing that team. And I don't mean that in a mean way. You can't go 1-5, 1-6, 1-7. You can't do that and keep a locker room when you're coming off 3-14 in the wake of the Deshaun thing, and how even if he was forced to play Deshaun Watson beyond when he thought he should last year, it does not matter. Like, this is the danger zone for Kevin, and you'll know Kevin has lost that locker room when we get that first full foray. When Kevin's side starts to leak out beyond what Charles Robinson said. 216-474-0092. Charles Robinson went on 102.5 The Game in Nashville and said things have changed, that there is a gap between Barry and Stefanski since the Joe Flacco trade. Speaking of high-profile trades, another one could be on the way. Well, that's 5 minutes from now on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Daryl. Brought to you by Shiven Jewelers. It's Daryl. Daryl. Hello, Daryl. How are you?
Probably as good as you guys are.
I'm terrible today. Actually, no, I'm good. I'm good. I've been given so much. Well, I fluctuate between happiness and just madness right now because I have clarity now. Clarity that there's nothing. There's no side to take. There's no side to take. It's all there for you. Last night, it crystallized everything there. How dare I just blame Andrew Berry? How dare I just blame Kevin Stefanski? No, it's all there for you, Daryl. So what did you think watching last night's game?
Well, I think it's certainly an indictment of the state of affairs with the Browns right now, because we had all assumed that Joe Flacco was washed up and he couldn't do it anymore. And then he goes out and does that on national television, beats the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we certainly now understand why Mike Tomlin was furious that Andrew Berry basically gave Joe Flacco to the Cincinnati Bengals. But the Browns organization looks like a bunch of stooges this morning, which they often do. The smartest people in the room look like they're the dumbest. Kevin Stefanski is going to have to answer for why that happened last night. And we're stuck watching a team that can't score more than 17 points in a game with him calling plays on the sideline, putting game plans together. Andrew Berry needs to get his butt front and center and start answering some questions. I've never heard of a GM being completely inaccessible after trading a week one starting quarterback and also trading your starting corner. I've never heard of that. Not even a statement in like a release from Andrew Berry about stuff. So he's not accountable for anything right now. And I'm going to say this. If they fire Kevin Stefanski, they need to fire Andrew Berry too. If Kevin has to go, Andrew has to go. Because Andrew's the one buying the groceries that Kevin has to work with. And it's rotten. And you know what? It might be rotten by design. And that's what we all have to understand. This might be part of the grand plan. Winning might not be important to this organization this year. The players seem pretty frustrated. Well, Brent Delpit seems pretty frustrated. Garrett seems pretty frustrated.
See, Daryl, somebody just sent that to us on social media. Like Bro TZ. Listening to the opening statement, they were not trying to win this year, so what's the point of any of this? The only thing Berry did was dig us more into salary cap hell by signing Miles to that contract. To go, read your own tweet back to you, sir. And I'm not trying to be mean to that guy,
right?
But if you're going to be all in for it, you better be all in for it. If you're really going to commit to that, you better do it. Because all you've done is just go into a circle here. That's all they've done. So, yeah, now we have the greatest player in Browns history on defense, and we regret signing him to a big, long contract. Only us. Because you don't take some of the other things seriously to it. You trade away a guy that you didn't even want to start to begin the season because you traded away the guy you really wanted to start to begin the season. So you fast forward guys who are quarterbacks. So you want to see what these quarterbacks have, but you don't put them in a position to be successful. So you don't put Dylan Gabriel into a position to be successful. And you know already, Daryl, they ain't going to put Shador into a position to be successful. And then I'm supposed to trust those guys to pick the quarterbacks in a class that is still a little bit rocky, but you know there's going to be a good one in there. There always is. So I'm supposed to trust them to pick that guy. We're continuously going into a circle here. There is no plan anymore. You can't tell me there's a plan. And the worst thing about it, I'm not trying to get mad at that guy, but the worst thing about it is that we say these things to protect ourselves from our feelings. Well, they're not even trying to win, so who cares? They're not even trying to win, so why be mad about it? Well, that absolves anybody of any responsibility, Daryl.
Yeah, 100%. And again, you know, Andrew Berry's the one that put this offense together. He's the reason that the receiver room is the worst in the National Football League. He's the reason why there's no depth on the offensive line. He's the reason that Dylan Gabriel, who is not qualified to be starting NFL games, is starting NFL games. He's the reason why they, you know, have a very polarizing rookie quarterback that is at some point going to start games this year and will probably have no chance, as you said, Ken.
And then we'll all fight each other over it. Then we'll all fight each other over it. We'll get called every name in the book because we set him up for failure. Like it's us in the media that set him up like that.
And then you'll be yelling and screaming at me on a Monday morning after the game because it didn't go well. It's the vicious cycle here.
You're right.
And at some point, the Browns need to change how they do things, okay? I respect Andrew Berry. I respect Kevin Stefanski. But the product that they're putting on the field for loyal Browns fans is absolutely unacceptable. And they don't seem to understand that. And that's a problem. Grant Delpit's talking about in the locker room yesterday, I don't even know what it feels like to win anymore. That's your starting safety.
We'll play that after you're done. Yeah, go ahead there, Daryl.
I mean, that's your starting safety. You know, there is no winning culture here. There is no culture here. And that starts from the very top of the building, too, by the way. And that's a problem. So, I don't know how, you know, Kevin survives this. I don't know how Kevin gets this thing back on the tracks. Because Joe Flacco made Kevin look incompetent last night. You know, Joe Flacco didn't know half the Bengals playbook and yet was able to go out and put more than 30 points on the scoreboard and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers without even knowing their playbook. He joked after the game. Yeah, you know, that on the scramble. We all assumed that was just, you know, Zach Taylor trolling all of us, showing off that Joe Flacco still maybe has some wheels on him. And no, that was a busted play that Joe Flacco completely messed up. And he's like, I don't know half the playbook here. I'm just making stuff up as I go along. And so what's wrong with your operation? What's wrong with your organization? How toxic is your organization? How dysfunctional is your organization? How incompetent is your organization that we had to see what we saw from Joe Flacco those first four games of the season? Before you benched him, blamed it on him, and then gave him away to Cincinnati, and he goes out and does that on national TV. Y'all look like a bunch of idiots this morning, and you deserve every ounce of grief you're getting from Browns fans and from you guys.
And Daryl, I'll tell you this. Let me take it further. I don't think that Joe Flacco, I really don't believe, if I was a betting man, I would bet against them saving their season. The AFC ain't that great. But I'm still going to say, I would still bet against Joe Flacco and the Bengals getting to the postseason and saving themselves, all right? But what yesterday showed is still what is possible 4 days after you played the same team. Because I look at some of the numbers of what the attempts were, it's really a lot of the same stuff. So then I have to think, all right, your game plans, maybe they're trying to be the same thing. Maybe you're just being too conservative. You're still not doing the right thing. The pieces that you've got, the plans that you've put together still aren't the right thing. So even though I say that, it doesn't absolve anybody. It's still right there. What yesterday did, even though it's a one-game thing, it showed you. It showed you what's gone on. Not what's possible, but what's gone on right there with what the Cincinnati Bengals did, Tone.
Well, I want to ask you, Daryl, because you mentioned how bad did Kevin look last night. You know, when we saw Kevin and Joe Flacco and that offense together a few years ago, it was 300 yards almost every game. It was putting up points in the 30s in some of those wins, and it looked exactly like last night. So what changed with Kevin? Was it just that Kevin thinks the receiving room sucks that Andrew Berry supplied him and the offensive line, even though Cincinnati is a terrible offensive line too, and that didn't seem to matter in that one game last night? I do think that will, you know, rear its ugly head eventually. But is that all it is? Is it that he was coaching so conservative because of the hand he was dealt, or has it been beaten out of him? Like, what happened to Kevin and Joe Flacco and that, and you know, the two of them together?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of stuff. And this is just my theory. I want to make that very, very clear. It's my theory. I don't think he made the decision to start Dylan Gabriel. I don't think he's made some decisions over the years. He's been a team player and gone along, but he's the guy that has to be out in front of the media answering the questions every day and taking the grief for organizational decisions and playing it off as if they are his decisions. And, you know, that's part of it. I think the other part of it is, yeah, he's not dumb. Like, Kevin Stefanski's not dumb. He knows the hand that he's been dealt, that he has to deal with. And, you know, again, he has to wear that. He has to be out in front and act like everything's fine and everything's positive and, you know, they really are trying to win and put the best product out there. He knows that receiver room isn't worth anything. He knows the offensive line has no depth to it, but that's the hand he's dealt, and he has to do the best he can with what he's given to deal with. So I think it's and how can he have confidence in the receiver room? How can he have confidence in the offensive line beyond the three interior guys? So in some respects, yeah, I kind of have to defend Kevin to be fair to him. But like also too, man, like it's hard to defend when the guy that was here, okay, that, you know, can make some magic happen still on the field, wasn't really given the opportunity to do that because of whether it's the game plan, whether it's the personnel, the coaching, whatever it is, okay? Every Browns fan had to watch that last night, okay? They had to watch that and realize, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, Joe's 40, but, yeah, he's not completely washed. There's some gas left in that tank. But we didn't get to see any of that for 4 weeks with the Browns. It was a bumbling bunch of fools for the first 4 weeks of the season out there on the football field offensively. And Browns fans are stuck watching that week in and week out. And now you put Dylan Gabriel out there. I don't know if you guys have seen some of the video mashups of Gabriel's game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's laughable the throws that guy missed. He can't see. He's 5'9 or 5'10. He certainly isn't what they list him in the media. He ain't over 6 feet tall. I'm 6 feet on the nose. I'm taller than Dylan Gabriel. But that's what Andrew Berry has given Kevin Stefanski to work with. So I feel for Browns fans this morning. I mean, the egg that this organization has on its face, it's thick and it's a lot. I really feel bad for Browns fans right now that this is, you know, this is what you were given to watch this year, and it's a shame.
All right, so Daryl, is this a win or you're getting fired game for Kevin Stefanski on Sunday?
I don't think it should be, because as I said earlier, Anthony, if you fire Kevin, you have to fire Andrew Berry. They're joined at the hip. You cannot make Kevin Stefanski the fall guy for this mess.
Who says Andrew Berry would stay? Because I got to tell you, Daryl, if they're chanting "Thank you, Cleveland" again on a major broadcast.
Yeah,
they rubbed your nose in it. We knew it was unorthodox. You have two Super Bowl winning head coaches ripping you for it. I've said it over and over again. You've let go of general managers in the middle of the season before. It's hard. I don't know if it's really turned the heat up. I don't want to get mad at anybody and just let them go because I'm mad. But man, you lose to that Dolphins team that has quit on their head coach and they have quit on each other. This is going to be a bad, bad day, man. This is bad. Wednesday, didn't think so. This morning, after last night, I think there's a possibility.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's no justification for what we have watched for the last year and six games into a season. Okay, the last 23 games is offensive to Browns fans, and it should be, because the talent level on this team, it's not a perfect roster. We know that, but the talent level is not the same as the expansion Browns. It's not the same as the burn the house down and rebuild it from the ground up 2015 to 2017 Browns, okay? But the product that they're putting out there, and that's why I throw it out there, maybe they're not bothered by the losses because they have the two first-round picks, and we all know that they're shopping for a quarterback to There's stories about the owner flying around the country, going on to all the marquee games to scout the quarterbacks himself. Right.
Well, hell, wouldn't you right now? Wouldn't you be the only one you trust right now, Daryl?
Yeah, I know. And that's the problem, right? That's the problem.
I'd do the same damn thing. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I mean, that's the problem, that the owner feels compelled to do this. Would you trust Andrew Berry to pick the right quarterback next April? Because I don't.
How could I? How could, no. Because, again, it goes back to, did Kevin Stefanski want to start Dylan Gabriel this soon? Can't say yes. I don't think there's any way. There's the game plan tells you. Yeah. I mean, he's trying to take the quarterback out of the game, and the game that the quarterback is still the most important piece to the game.
Except for last week when he had him throw 58, try
but,
and throw 58
but look
times.
At what, but you see, that, and this is what we tell ourselves because we all try to make ourselves feel better. It's human nature. Yeah. I looked at what the game plan was with the Cincinnati Bengals. Zach Taylor, he dropped back Joe Flacco. I think one was a design run. I think the other four might have been scrambles. It's over 50 times. And then you ran the ball 11 times with Chase Brown. Now, he had 108 yards on the ground, so there is a difference. You ran the ball with Quinshon Judkins 12 times.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, just looking at those stats, it's a lot of the same stuff going on. Well, hello. One guy's able to do it, the other guy isn't. Now, I don't want to claim crazy things here, but these are the things you think of when you've won four games in the last 2 years.
Yeah. It always boggles my mind. I say this time and time again, and I feel bad for being a broken record, but I'm mesmerized and captivated by the fact that football is fun everywhere else except for Cleveland. And football looks easy everywhere else in the National Football League. Well, maybe except for the New York Jets. Everywhere but Cleveland and the Jets, okay? And it's just, you know, Browns fans keep getting fed the same slop over and over again. You get maybe one good season once every 10 years, all right? And, you know, what we're focused on long-term sustained success. That's the goal. And they keep getting fed that line every time there's changes. And they never get the payoff. You know, I keep going back to the 90s Cowboys when they went 1-15 with Troy Aikman as a rookie. 3 years later, they win the Super Bowl. And this is the indictment of Andrew Berry. This is the indictment of the Haslams. This is the indictment of Kevin Stefanski. The payoff for going 1-31 was supposed to be a Super Bowl. That's the whole reason they did that. And you got two playoff appearances and one playoff victory. That was your payoff, and now you're back to square one again. That is, to me, a crime.
Daryl, I love you. I got to let you go. I didn't realize we were so close. I lost total track of time because you were on a heater. Thank you very much, Daryl. We'll talk to you next week. God bless.
Enjoy the game Sunday, guys.
Back on Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We've got Miles Simmons of Pro Football Talk, NFL writer, Cleveland's own. Now lives out there. He's a coast. I don't know. What the hell do we? A Gold Coaster? Is that what we call people who live on California? Is that what we do?
A Gold Coaster? I don't know.
Is that it? I don't know. Anyway, he lives in L.A. now, so he's very important. However, he'll be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. I do want to ask him about the Charles Robinson stuff. And if you guys are just joining us, the first piece of sound we had was him talking about if Kevin Stefanski could end up in Tennessee, because Tennessee fans really want Kevin Stefanski. And his answer was, sure, maybe Kevin probably wants a better job than that. Then we just played him talking about Charles Robinson on 102.5 The Game in Nashville, talking about how things have changed for Stefanski since the Joe Flacco trade, and how there's a gap there. And now I want to play this for you because I think this is another sign of the relationship that I think Kevin has with certain media members, and the idea that Kevin could leave here and that maybe there's greener pastures out there for him.
Someone said to me, they go, you know what? They're like, Kevin's going to be just like Baker. He's going to leave Cleveland. He's going to do great. And they're going to say the same thing you're saying about Baker. Sometimes you just need to get away from the dysfunction to be what you can be. I think Stefanski's a really good coach. I think Cleveland fans hate him. I think they can't stand him. I think they think he runs a vanilla offense. I think he's been a horrible situation from a quarterback standpoint since he's been there. And even when the Baker situation was good, you saw what he could do. And then Baker gets hurt. And then there's other elements of like OBJ being on there and all the drama that was sort of happening then. Stefanski is the one where I'm like, he could become available. And I think he could go elsewhere and do well.
All right, the first thing that I think Charles, with respect, has no business talking about is Browns fans' relationship to Kevin. I think the world of Charles. He is incredible at what he does. He does not live in town. He is not equipped. I don't think fans hate him. I think fans have watched him go 4-19 in the last 23 games and are justifiably frustrated and wondering how good of a coach he is.
I think fans tried really hard with Stefanski, myself included. I'm sure I'd put you in that category as well. How I feel about it is I tried really, really hard. I love the idea that he was an adult. And like if when he takes a job, let's say it is Tennessee, and then all the Tennessee stations, they call us to have him on the shows and everything like that. I can tell you what I'll say right now. I mean, it's nothing's going to change. You get a pro. Mm-hmm. He's professional. There is you have a real adult standing up there answering questions. Somebody that you know is taking the job seriously. Somebody that you know is doing everything they're supposed to be doing as far as checking off all the boxes. He's only as good as his team is ever going to be, which is another way of me knowing whether or not he's going to be good in another spot or not. Like, he's never going to take a team and make them better. He's never going to take a worse team and just completely crater him either. He's going to be a product of what the team around him is.
I think that's a good way of saying where I think he is. I don't think Kevin's a great coach. I also think he's a bad coach. I think he's somewhere between average. I don't really want to say above average because I don't know that to be true, but he's somewhere in the average to adequate range. But this idea of, the quarterback situation, I got to say, there's plenty of people in the national media giving him the Peterlin pass for the quarterback situation.
The Peterlin pass.
As if this dude had no say. That is wildly disingenuous, and I can only think that if you're saying, look at the quarterback situation he was given. He was given the number one pick in the NFL draft, who, by the way, has since become an MVP candidate somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't even cling to, Baker played his best football under Stefanski. That narrative is 3 years defunct now. Because he's gotten better. His first year in Tampa was better than anything he did in Cleveland. And then the second year was better than that. And this year is better than that. So this is why it's so hard to have a genuine conversation about Kevin Stefanski. Because there are people who are stuck on narratives that, quite frankly, aren't true about him. And we got crazy fans out there, like our buddy Randy on Facebook.
Oh, Randy's out to lunch.
Who's just unhinged about Kevin Stefanski. Cope harder for a .456 winning percentage head coach. He's a adequate head coach.
So I don't think
he is a part of the failure in Cleveland, whether anybody wants to admit that or not. And if you can't admit that, then we're not having a genuine conversation.
Do people look at it like it's like Belichick after leaving the Browns and he's going to go to this other spot and he's going to be like an all-time great? Or do they look at it more like Andy Reid leaving the Eagles to then go to the Chiefs to then have himself bumped up? I'm dying to know what people think. The elevation that Stefanski can take in going and getting away from the Browns, because for some reason, people make it so astronomically high, and I just don't think it's ever going to get there. He's not Shanahan. He's not LaFleur. He's not O'Connell. He's not McVay. He's not one of these guys. He can be a good coach. He's never going to be a great coach.
Yes, this is like if you give Brian Callahan Joe Burrow as his quarterback and he's the OC, he's going to get that Tennessee job. Oh, look. Look at what Brian Callahan did with Joe Burrow.
It's Joe Brady. It's a Joe Brady conversation.
Exactly. So, I'm not here to tell you, if you give that guy a franchise quarterback, you just described 60% of coaches in football.
So many people, if you give them the right quarterback, can make this thing work. But for Stefanski, I think he falls in that bucket of coaches that needs the right people and the right quarterback and the right team.
To reset this to the initial point, which was this is going to be Baker Mayfield. One, nobody, including myself as a Baker bro, thought this was going to be Baker. So that is when Baker left here. Well, no, I mean is we thought he would still be a good quarterback elsewhere. Didn't know.
I did say that he was it was going to be Mahomes versus Baker was going to be our generation's Manning and Brady. So I'd like some acknowledgement on that.
Wasn't that before he got cut, though? Were you saying that when he was getting replaced by Deshaun Watson?
We took it the whole way through, brother.
Okay.
We took it the whole way through.
Well, Fight the good fight.
We
appreciate
really fought.
You.
Well, this is what you know about me. We don't give up in
you
that
don't.
Regard. We
and
just
I appreciate
don't.
That.
We just don't. We but believe in something and we just continue to believe in it.
I guarantee you, Charles Robinson 3 years ago wasn't saying, oh, Baker's going to go somewhere else and be better. Don't recall Charles saying that. People are saying that. Charles is saying that now about Kevin. But here's the thing. Much like the Baker thing, guys, if Deshaun had lived up to the hype, and you had been to an AFC title game by now, been to the playoffs 3 straight years, and he looked like a $250 million guaranteed quarterback, there would be no complicating factor with the Baker stuff. Oh, that's great that he worked out, right?
You know,
it's
well, you
Matt
know what
Stafford and Jared Goff.
You know what it'd be? I have a different one. It would be Daniel Jones right now thriving in Indy. How many Giants fans really care? They look at Jackson Dart. They're like, Jackson Dart's our guy. We have it figured out. They're not crying over spilt milk with Daniel Jones and what Daniel Jones has become in Indianapolis. They're not even throwing haymakers towards Brian Daboll. Well, why didn't you get that Daniel Jones? He's 5-1. He's MVP consideration. They don't even talk that way.
They're like two bad games they're away like, from
we,
that,
we
but
have,
you're right.
We have Scatabu. We have Jackson Dart. Let's do this thing.
We got a couple bros headlining our
team.
We're
just going to bro out. Who you bring the protein shakes.
I was going to go protein shakes, but you handled that the right way. You're a professional. But no, if Deshaun had worked out, the Baker stuff would be mitigated. Maybe not entirely, but it would be mitigated to some degree. So if Kevin Stefanski goes elsewhere and is a good head coach, but you get the right guy who's the next part of this, any of that's going to go the way. The reason why the Belichick stuff stung is Belichick won 6 Super Bowls while you had a winning percentage of, I think, 375 through the first 20 years of you being back. If you had a 675 winning percentage, even if Belichick was beating you in, I see what I did, and the 6-7 thing's really just going to my brain. if Belichick was beating you in conference title games to win those Super Bowls, you wouldn't be saying, oh, why we had him, why'd we let him go? Because you'd still be saying, we lost in the AFC title game, right? Like, I get there's a threat that Kevin might go, of all the head coaches we've seen since 99. Yep, he's the guy that I think there's a reasonable chance he could go elsewhere and have success. It doesn't mean that should get in the way of asking yourself, is he still the right guy for the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, really what you're doing in many ways. Now, is the Baker side of this, is that making people more fearful? Because as I described this, it might make people more fearful. You gave up on Baker because you thought that there could be something better on the horizon. You're giving up on Stefanski if you do so because you think there's going to be something better on the horizon. I think at the end of the day, though, you just have to understand Stefanski's never going to be that coach here.
216-474-0092. So Charles Robinson believes that Stefanski could leave and be better elsewhere. How big or how much of a factor is that in how you view Stefanski and whether he's still the right fit for the Cleveland Browns? Let's go with Patrick in Hudson. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Guys, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, buddy. What you got for us?
Well, really, like, I just wanted to add that I really compared the season a lot to, like, the 1-31 days. And unfortunately for me, this is almost worse now because at least with the 1-31, you knew, like, the singular most problem was the head coach in Hugh Jackson. You could bona fide, you know, say that. Now it's a mess of you don't know whether it's Stefanski. You know, obviously there's blame to go all around, but what's the biggest issue? Is it Stefanski? Is it Barry? Is it the quarterback? Is it the roster overall? Is it your owner? It's just insane how promising this team once was and how much of an absolute mess it is now.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I think most people nationally, agree, Patrick, would say Haslam.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I can't really refute that Haslam isn't a big problem. I can't remove ownership. I don't have the power to shame Jimmy Haslam out of
Cleveland.
It's
just a waste of time talking if that's the conversation.
Now, do I think Jimmy Haslam? So we talked a lot about...
He spends a lot of money. I like that about him.
Yeah.
But he's just way too involved right now.
At some point, I don't give a rip about your process. I don't know.
Not process. Until, no dollars.
No, well, no, but that's part of the process is we're going to outspend everyone. If that doesn't lead to wins and losses, or if that doesn't lead with plenty of losses, if it doesn't lead to wins, I don't give a rip. Dan Gilbert spends a lot of money. I've got a title for that, five NBA finals runs, and this next team feels like it could make an NBA finals run as well.
I guess what I'm saying
that's money well spent.
At least he's not meddling while also then being cheap about it. If they're only trying to give him the silver lining, but the end result is the end result here, and most national people would say that Haslam's the problem. Hey, bring Florio on for 2 seconds. All he wants to do is tell you how Haslam's the problem. Nothing will be fixed until Haslam's not the owner anymore.
That's a great point, by the way, because Haslam can be a problem, and that can also not be the entire story with the Browns. I think it's incredibly convenient to Kevin or Andrew or De Podesta or any of these guys. Now, here's the difference. I think we're past the point of Andrew Berry or Kevin Stefanski learning their lesson for Deshaun Watson. I don't think we're past the point of Jimmy Haslam learning that lesson. Because the one thing I don't think we talked enough is Jimmy Haslam went through 1-31 to get a team and then let two guys he hired destroy that team within about 5 years.
No, but
valuable lesson that he needs to learn.
No, Nick, the most important lesson he's got to learn is the idea that, first off, in today's football, it doesn't take 12 years to rebuild a team. But he let us all go through 1-31 and thought that was the answer to then end up with one playoff win to then have other people come in and make that same suggestion. They weren't as obvious about it, but they made the same suggestion. You won 3 games this last year. You're going to win 3, 4, 5 games this year. We're basically doing the same thing to end up with the number 2 overall pick last year and whatever this year ends up with. You think this is going to end any differently?
216-474-0092. Charles Robinson had a lot to say about the Cleveland Browns. I'll play at least one of those pieces of sound for Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk, and Cleveland. I almost said kid. He's a grown man. But we'll play with that for him and get his take on how bad things really are in Cleveland in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
We started the show taking a look at 1-5 against 1-5, leading to Fox Sports saying hot seats for coaches. Number one is Mike McDaniel of the Dolphins. Number two is Kevin Stefanski for the Browns. Do you actually think that this game could decide somebody's future? I think it could. I think it's more likely to decide McDaniel's future than it is Stefanski's.
I'll buy that. I'll absolutely buy that. I'm just curious. Did you buy my whole theory of leaks that we would be hearing about front offices?
I think there's something to that. Yeah, I do.
There's just always somebody will have something. They'll say like, the Browns might be fishing around for this or that. Very much like the same way where they were fishing around for Deshaun Watson when they had a starting quarterback. It's kind of like you kind of hear little rumors here and there, and then you can that be true? Can that be true? And then if it's not true, you turn around 2 days. That was a lot of hot air, and then sometimes it's not, and then you hear the reality of it. They're not good if you're hearing them, if those kind of stories are out there.
I would agree. 1-5 is not the place to be, by the way. We'll explain that coming up. Fred is in Maple Heights. Fred, welcome to the show.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Hey.
Fred.
Fred.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can.
Hey, I agree with you guys, but wasn't Miami not too long ago like a hot ticket item? Weren't they going? Yeah. They had some receivers and everything, and they kind of just fell off, huh?
Well, remember when McDaniel went down there? They were all happy with him, and it was, you know, the boy genius and all that stuff, kind of, because he's a really young-looking guy and is a different approach. I like the guy, personally. I think he's a really creative coach, but obviously it's not going real well for them. Losing Tyreek Hill didn't help either. But, Fred, that's the thing. We know what it's like in the NFL. If it doesn't work for an extended period of time or even a short period of time, you're in trouble if you're a coach.
True. And my thing is this. I think, this is my opinion. Like, everybody got one, man. It just seems like the Browns have gave – I know we haven't had the best receivers, the best tools, haven't gave him the best weapons at all, man. But I think they gave him more than enough to work with since he's been here. And all I've heard is excuse after excuse. And I've seen, like, this little clip on Instagram with him saying, it's on me, it's got to be me. And it's just – it's ridiculous how many times he has said that. And it really is on him because they have gave him the tools. And now it just seems like – It seems like they're butting heads. It's almost like the front office want to do something with quarterback, and he wants to do something totally opposite. Maybe it's the scheme. Like you said, Jeff, he's not scheming guys open. But I think they gave him a lot of weapons over the period of time of being here for him to use it and to have a better winning record than he's given us, man. And I think they're kind of out of excuses. And Andrew Berry and nobody else stepping up and saying anything, it seems like they're leaving him holding the bag at the end of the day.
It's a great point at the end.
I think another AFC North. I just think another game, man. I think he really out of here. It's the writing's on the wall. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, Fred, thank you. The one thing about what McDaniel has done in Miami, and Andy, I think this is somewhat comparable, at least I think it's comparable, to what's happened to Kevin here in Cleveland. And McDaniel, this is his fourth season. His records are 9-8, 11-6, 8-9. So, in other words, had one good year, 11 wins, and two okay years. Mm-hmm. And this year, they've fallen off the face of the earth, and they're 1-5. And Kevin's records here, he's had a couple of 11-win seasons, you know, 8-9 wins, been right around there. And then last year fell off the face of the earth after an 11-win season to go 3-14. And then this year starting out 1-5. So it's weird because last year was Kevin's worst season. Mm-hmm. McDaniel's in his right now, same record as Kevin. You know, and they're already talking about blowing up McDaniel because of other factors along with the wins and losses. You know, just the way the team is playing and the way the team is going and Tua speaking out and all that stuff. Dominic is in Rochester. Dominic, is this you?
Hey, Dominic. No, my name is Old Folk.
Oh, okay. What up?
It's an interesting thing. Family name?
The nickname, Old Folk.
Hi, Old Folk.
How you guys doing, man? I'm new to the Cleveland sports media. I followed the Cleveland Browns, you know, for a long time, since Brian Sipe days. But they've never been my favorite team. I've just been, you know, partial to the Browns, kind of like, I see a puppy that don't get fed and you want to take care of it.
That's nice of you. We appreciate that.
Hey, Old Folk, you on a speakerphone? By any chance?
Yeah. Do you need to come off?
Yeah, can you please? Thank you.
One moment. I'll try to take that off.
We need we need hold music for that.
Give me your song.
Yeah.
All right. Here, really quickly.
Way better.
I'm trying to understand the love affair with Kevin Stefanski. And with the Cleveland media, I don't understand it quite because he's the epitome of average. And let me explain what I mean by that. If you give an average NFL coach a playoff roster, he will produce a playoff team. If you give an average NFL coach a less than playoff roster, he won't produce a playoff team. In other words, his presence is not a bonus. There is nothing about him that produces or helps to others produce their best. Right, so he's the epitome of average. He needs it. His presence won't bring about anything more. He's not a above average coach who can take a middling roster and win with that.
So very few coaches can, though, Old Folk.
I agree. So you can get average anywhere. It's about building your roster.
Well, then it's what you're saying is it's not the coach's fault. Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is, why the love affair as if he is above average?
I don't know. I think part of this is...
I'll argue your love affair thought.
Yeah, and it's not just local. If you think it's local, I mean, I just read that Jeff Kerr story from CBS Sports that said he will find another job somewhere else. The last line again. He won't... I just lost it. If the Browns move on, Stefanski will get another head coaching job because this one's not his fault. Because this mess isn't on him. I think the reason that Stefanski gets so much extra time here is because the what seems to be going down in history is the worst trade in the NFL for Deshaun Watson doesn't feel like it's on him. And that's why I think people are a little bit more, he's got more cushion than others do. That's why.
I would agree with that. Old Folk, thank you. And I'm interested in seeing your birth certificate.
It's a nickname, Joe.
That's what I heard.
Yes, that's the word.
That's what I heard. See, he does make a valid point, I think. If you're a competent NFL coach and you've been around and you have a really good roster, you can win some games.
How many coaches have we seen have their first shot in the NFL, didn't work out, and then all of a sudden, hey.
They figure it out a little bit.
Andy Reid's been fired before, right?
Absolutely. But Andy had a great big run in Philadelphia, and he's having another one right now in Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, take a look around the league at guys that you think are phenomenal head coaches. It's a short list.
It's a very short list.
You know, there aren't a ton of guys that you think are phenomenal head coaches and are real difference makers. There really aren't. And I'll back up what old folks said. When Kevin was given a roster that had some talent on it, he showed he could coach it to the playoffs. They were 11-5 in his first year. They bounced back and went 11-6 in 2023. And then it fell off the face of the earth last year to 3-14. Now, is that on the coach? Might be. Might be. Might not be.
He gets a lot of credit for the pandemic year, keeping things together, winning a playoff game. That went a long way.
Winning 11 games with 5 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a hell of a coaching job. It really was. And last year was not.
And right now we're in a downturn. So is he going to be around to turn this thing around? I don't know.
There you go. That's
the question.
There's the question.
He's at the bottom. Can he work his way back up top?
Julius is in Baltimore, home of another 1-5 team. Hello, Julius.
Hey, Julius.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Well, good. How are you?
I had better days. Go Browns. So I wanted to talk about, to old folks' point, the personnel that have come in once we bring Shador in. You know, it's an electrifying persona that comes with it. You know, and I feel the engagement in the league will cause better players to want to come to Cleveland. We're not going to have another Jarvis Landry willingly come to Cleveland again. You know, I think we fell into a cash cow. And to expect Dillon Gabriel to come out and be Doug Flutie 2.0 is outrageous. We see the potential that he has, and it's not anything that we're excited to see. I say we just throw this rock in a pond and see what we can land. You know, and to old folks' point and to your guys' point as well, once we get that personnel, Stefanski's going to look like he was in Minnesota all over again. Right? Kirk Cousins got paid almost $1 billion from Stefanski's offense. So we can see that same thing come from Shador and the personnel throughout the league, because everybody loves Shador. You know, I know it's the media says opposite, but I do think that it's worth a try.
Let me just counter you on one point. You know, you take a look at our star defensive end here who wanted to leave, and what kept him here?
Oh, money.
Money. Cool. So that's why I'm just telling you, it's not like players don't want to come to Cleveland. I mean, really, with any no offense, Dan, moving to Green Bay, Wisconsin doesn't exactly sound like the greatest thing at all. But have we heard Micah Parsons complain once about playing there? No.
6 months of winter? Why wouldn't you sign up for that?
I mean, if you see your shadow in the fall, I mean, so I agree with 90% of the things you said there. But the one key thing is I think money trumps everything with these guys, and it doesn't matter. They can live in Cleveland if they're making the cash.
And Julius, let me ask you one thing. You said everybody loves Shador. Do you mean around the NFL? Do you mean players? Obviously, front offices don't, because he was on the board in round 5.
Right. Well, I'm talking as a casual fan.
Okay. You know. Fans are crazy about the guy. There's no question about that.
92.3 Shador.
See?
He's
got his own jingle.
Yeah. Look at it.
I mean, the man has his own jingle. What he doesn't have is playing time yet.
I'm not going to be upset when Shador steps under center. I'm not. I mean,
Shador.
I just don't want it to happen at Gabriel's health at that expense. You know,
you don't want to see anybody get hurt. I want to see Gabriel play really well.
I
don't care. Yeah, he's up now, so let's see him play well.
Before we have more drama next year when you get to the draft, and all of a sudden now you're trying to figure out why Nussmeier isn't starting week one or whoever.
Nussmeier. If the NFL draft started Thursday, if it were this weekend, our Cleveland Browns would be drafting third overall. Third overall. You know what that means, Andy?
That means we'd have to use our other pick to move up to number one.
Means you'd maybe get your second choice at quarterback. Could maybe even get your first if you stayed at number three. Welcome to Basket of Phelps, everybody. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner over there is Andy Baskin.
Our good friends at Tankathon think 21st for our second pick, although they also think second. So keep tanking there.
Well,
going to get a little higher.
Did you just say tanking?
Well, that was Tankathon. That's not me. That's
the, I was going to say that was a bold statement.
That is an official website of those that believe that they want their teams to lose so they can get a higher draft pick.
Right now, the Browns are sitting third. You made it through this six-game gauntlet to start the season that everybody was afraid of for good reason. It didn't go well. You're 1-5. Andy, this team right now, and Kevin Stefanski is coming up, by the way, at 10:55. We're going to hear from the coach of the Browns. Get ready for that. Our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, will join us at 12:40. Chris Rose at 1 o'clock. Dylan Gabriel will speak today. We'll hear from Dylan right around noon, sometime in that vicinity.
Yep.
You've made it through this six-game stretch. You're 1-5. But I wonder now, you're 1-5, okay? You've got the third pick in the draft. We touched on this earlier in the week. At this point, the rest of the way, do you want results or do you want information?
What do I want?
Well, I'm wondering what everybody wants.
Are you asking me straight out what I want? I want results. I'm not wired the other way. I'm wired for results. I still want to believe that if they can get on a streak here, something crazy can happen and they could.
Crazy, you know, like what?
Crazy like extend the season. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs or they're one win. But I can't stand the thought of walking into a stadium or turning on my TV on Sunday or just engaging in Browns football thinking that I want them to lose. That is just insane. I can't believe that players want to walk into a locker room and go like, you know, it might be better if we lose. We're going to get another quarterback next year. Or maybe that you're trying to support the quarterback they have. Or, you know, I am not wired to think tank. It's not who I am. It's not what I believe sports should be. It drives me crazy. And I know there's a reality to it. And I know sometimes being bad helps you to become better later down the road. I hate it. I can't stand it. I think it's a loser's mentality. I think even if you're 1-5, you got to go out there every week and try to win. And and wherever the football gods put you at the end of the season for your draft picks, so be it. So be it. I can't stand the thought of a team walking into a venue with even the inkling of saying, let's lose. I can't. It drives me nuts.
All right. Let me give you this one then.
Okay.
If you're trying to get results through six games, you're 1-6 or 1-5.
I knew they were going to be tough games. We all knew it.
That didn't work. So might it be time to try to get results by doing something different and getting information at the same time?
All right, how do you do that?
Well, that's a fine line too, but just trying to flat out win football games hasn't worked. Okay? Your offense is the worst in the NFL. So what you've been trying to do, if you've been trying to get results, well, that didn't work.
I've also tried to do this with two different quarterbacks, sometimes 2/5 or 3/5 of my regular offensive line. I know my wide receiving core is a group of underachievers at this point. I don't know. Maybe that changes. Maybe we see
softer defensive backs. Are they underachievers or are they just achieving at the level that they're prepared to capable of performing at?
When you're near the top or a league leader in drops, you're underachieving. You're underachieving. That's not...
But are you underachieving if you're just not very good? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know, man. You're in the NFL. You've got to have done something right along the way to be there.
No one's putting guys on the field that
haven't done something outstanding or excelled to make an NFL team say, you know what, we want to put them on the roster.
Think that's true. Jordan Reed from ESPN put out his mock draft. Yeah, I'm looking at mock drafts already.
Sure.
The first overall pick, he has Fernando Mendoza.
I saw that.
The quarterback from Indiana. And then he has Reuben Bain, an edge rusher, going to Baltimore at number 2. Right now, the Ravens have the second overall pick. And then at 3, he has the Browns taking Dante Moore, the quarterback from Oregon.
We'll have the Oregon locker room here. We'll become the Cleveland Ducks.
Who was backup to Dylan Gabriel last year. This screams, uh-oh, Akili Smith, run far, run fast. Moore has played in 11 career games. So anyhow, That's just kind of where you are. Right now, you have the third overall pick in the draft. If you win some games, you're not going to have the third overall pick. But you might be able to change some things, Andy, and start to build for the future if maybe you start winning with guys that you're looking for to gain information from. Do you know what I'm trying to thread a needle here. I'm trying to walk a really fine line because right now they're 1-5. It's, you know, it's over in theory. It's over. So yeah, if you're going to lose,
it's hard for me to wake up on Sunday mornings and believe it's over now. It's really hard for me to believe it's over now. I know it's a reality. I got to look in the mirror and say to myself, they have one win. They're not going anywhere this year. But I just can't live like that. I can't live with it. Along the lines of your mock draft stuff.
Yeah.
So Tankathon has them with the number two pick, which is, I guess this is all percentage point stuff, right? Or maybe even a coin flip. They also have them taking Dante Moore from Oregon. And then...
who became the hot guy.
Yeah. And then at 21...
your guy, Carnell Tate.
No. Isaiah World, the offensive tackle from Oregon.
Well, that'd be fine, too.
Man, we are going to be the Ducks here very soon.
Here's the thing. What do you think it will take to make the playoffs?
Miracle run. I mean, okay.
Give me a number. Do you think an NFL team this year will make the playoffs with a record of 9-8?
I think you'd have to get to 9 at the least. At the least, you got to get to 9.
That means the Browns would have to go 8-3 in the last 11 games. Let's just cut right to it. Can this team go 8-3 the rest of the way?
They have too many hard games. There's 5 losses that are already scheduled.
Did the NFL put those in already?
Well, I can see it. Didn't you get the script? Come on, Jeff. Get with the program.
I don't think this team is capable of going 8-3. That's why if I'm going to go one way or the other, I'm not throwing all my assets in here. I'm going to try and gain some information while trying to get better. Okay, I'll give you that. You can't tell a locker room full of pro athletes, we're not trying our best to win, because they don't care. They don't care who's going to get drafted. That's the guys who get drafted take their jobs. So they don't care. In theory, they're going to try and win. And coaching staffs, in most situations that we have ever heard of, try to win football games and try to put game plans together to win football games. Unless their marching orders are very different. We've talked about that before. Who knows? I just don't think this team is capable of going 8-3.
Jeff, can they beat Miami?
I think they will. I think they're going to win that game. We're not going to play the schedule game, are we?
With you. That's 2-5. Can they beat New England?
Dan, he's playing the schedule game.
I don't care. Can they beat New England?
No.
Can they? Dan, go play along with me. Can they beat Miami?
Yes. Favorite of that game.
Yeah. Can they beat New England?
Yes.
Jeff, can they beat New England?
I'll say no.
Can they beat the Jets?
Yes.
Both of you, yes.
Yes.
So now...
That's 2 wins, baby.
We're saying can, right? Not will?
Can.
Okay.
Here's an interesting...
They can beat anybody. Ask Green Bay.
Yeah. But, Baltimore.
But ask Cincinnati. I don't think they'll
beat... If Lamar Jackson's back, no way.
I still don't think they'll beat Baltimore.
No way. Vegas, which always seems to be a weird game when you're out west, whether it was Oakland or LA.
Yeah, they can beat Vegas.
I think they can, too.
That's 4 wins.
San Francisco?
No.
Tennessee.
Yes.
Yes.
That's 5 wins.
Chicago.
Unlikely.
Chicago.
Can they? Yes.
Okay, it's all in here. Buffalo's
a
no.
We're playing the Canyon. No,
Buffalo's a no unless they pull off a Green Bay, kind of a weird deal.
That's a slam dunk no.
Pittsburgh.
I'm going to say yes. They beat him. They've beat him once a year.
I bet Rodgers is banged up by then.
So, yes.
That's 6 wins. Yes,
they can win that.
Dan's a little bit closer to where I am.
You're going to prove my point.
Cincinnati last.
Yes.
Yes.
So that means they have finished really strong, Andy. And
yes.
They have won 6 of the last 11 games. And that puts your record at 7-10 and takes you out of position to get the quarterback you want and drops you about 14th in the draft. Gee, that's great.
I don't know, dude.
Will is a completely different word that can.
If they can pick up, if they win this week,
Andy. Even if they do well,
Jeff, I did this with you with the Guardians.
All they're going to do is drop themselves out of the contention for a good pick.
So what? Maybe we have a quarterback.
Yeah,
can
maybe,
we have a quarterback?
Maybe his name is Dylan Gabriel.
Maybe.
Maybe his name is Shador Sanders.
Maybe.
Let's find out.
Okay, we'll find that out, but I'm also saying I'm not giving up hope. I'm sorry.
Maybe they have a future
hope
right
on the
guard.
I didn't give up hope on the Guardians, and I was right, wasn't I? So what am I? I'm one for one now.
Wait, you were the only one? No, this whole room was going nuts on the Guardians, baby.
I came in here and said raise the white flag, and then I'm like, nope, I can see a path.
I never raised it because they have pitching.
That's total garbage. You guys both said the season's over.
Actually, no.
I don't remember Dan saying that. Jeff,
this is the football equivalent of not hitting the ball past the pitcher's mound.
Yeah, they just can't hit.
Oh, not scoring 20 points. Same thing.
No, Andy. Not scoring 18
points. What do you want them to do? Should we be watching these games, or what do you want?
You've taken me to where I want to be now.
Okay, where do you want to be? Yes.
See, by playing the schedule game and us erring on the side of optimism.
Yes.
We have them winning.
No, you. Dan and I have a difference. Dan and I had more wins than you did. But keep
going. You said can, not will.
Yeah, you said can. Yes, and we thought they can win about six of the final 11 games.
They're a one-win
team. Which puts them at 7-10 and drops them out of contention for anybody that they really want at quarterback. And then you're like, great, that's swell.
So you're good. You want them to lose every week. I'm hearing your voice say,
nope.
I want the Browns to lose every week. And I don't. I can't. Nope. I can't live like that.
I don't want them to lose. What I want them to do, because they've been playing what they think is their best, you know, their best lineup to win. Well, that hasn't worked. So what I want them to do with the trade deadline coming up, I want them to move anything that's not nailed down. And I want to see if they can collect assets. I'll describe those kind of assets. I think there are people on this team that need to play who aren't playing. And you probably need to find out some things.
Is that your quarterback?
Because
your backup quarterback?
Nope, that's not him at all. Hmm. But there are other guys. 216-474-0092. What do you think, folks? You trying to get information here, or are you looking for results? Because the results didn't come with the guys you were playing. So you might as well play somebody else, try to get results, and get information. Are you confused? I'll explain it all. There are guys I think you should play. Kevin Stefanski coming up at 10:55. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.